Welcome to the Calvary Came Through broadcast from Chattanooga, Tennessee. We invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes to listen to a message from the Word of God by Evangelist Tracy Trivett. Join us now as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.
Hello again and welcome to the Calvary Came Through radio broadcast. My name is Tracy Trivett and I'm your host for this week. I thank you for joining us. I pray that the Word of God will be a help and an encouragement to you. We're not here to entertain you, but that the Word of God may go out and it may impact your life and change your life, because the Word of God said that it would never return void and that it is the power of God unto salvation. So I'm praying that it'll help you and be an encouragement and a blessing to you today. I want you to take your Bibles, if you can, and turn with me to the book of Hosea, chapter number 6. Yes, it actually is in your Bible. Hosea, chapter number 6. If you'll go to Daniel and just go to your right, you'll find it. Hosea, chapter number 6. What a wonderful story and a wonderful picture that we have in the book of Hosea. And in chapter 6, we have a story of change. We have a season of change, a season and a time of revival, you could say, that takes place, that I believe that we need to see in our day and time today. I believe that we have a lot of movements and a lot of different meetings and schedules and plans and different things like that. But I believe that what we need in our churches and in our lives today is something real, something that you can't tag with a denomination, or you can't tag with a book or an author, but something that you gotta say came from Almighty God. Something that brings a change in your life, something that makes a difference when nothing else could. Hosea chapter number 6, and we're gonna read the first three verses of this chapter. Verse 1 says, "Come, let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight." Verse 3, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and the former rain unto the earth." Let's pray, and today I want to speak to you on the thought, insincere and sincere change. Insincere and sincere change. Lord Jesus, we need you today. God, I confess that there's nothing in me, there's nothing that I can concoct, nothing that I can do, nothing that I can produce, nothing that will ever make a difference, God, in our lives, or anything that I can do, God, that'll ever make a change that is real, that'll ever do any good work, God. But it's only that thing that comes from you, that difference that you can make in our lives, God. That's what we need today, in our day and in our time, God. We need a real and fresh touch from you. We need something, God, that doesn't just fade away, something that doesn't just come in and stir us, but God, that changes us forever. Do that work, God, in your time and according to your will. It's in your name we pray. Amen and amen. In the book of Hosea, we have a wonderful picture of God's amazing and unconditional grace. In the first few chapters, you have the story of a woman named Gomer and a man named Hosea, a prophet of God, that were joined together by God. If you read the story, I won't go into detail, it seems like God has absolutely lost his mind. Gomer was a prostitute and Hosea was a prophet. It was strange that God brought them together, but through the story we have a picture and a type of God's amazing grace. But just like all the other prophets and all the other minor prophets, Hosea's main purpose was to be a messenger to the children of Israel. You look through the Old Testament, and what was going on is there would be a time where God's people would come to Him. There'd be a time of revival. They'd be serious about the things of God. They'd be focused on the things of God. God would be moving. God would be blessing. And then sure enough, in a matter of time, God's people would turn their back on Him. God's people would leave the things that He had done in their life. They would forsake Him and all that He had done. And in those times, God would raise up a man. In those times, God would call a man to take the message of restoration, to take the message of judgment, to take the message that you better turn, or as the old preacher would say, you're going to burn. God would send a man that would bring a message that says, you're still my people, but you need to be changed. In Hosea chapter 6, the story's no different. God's people have turned their back on Him once again. They have forsaken their God. They have turned their back on His ways and on His commandments, and they have totally left God behind one more time. In Hosea chapter 6, there has already been the proclamation of the gospel. Hosea had already taken God's message to His people, telling them to return to God, to come back to God, to go back to His ways, which, thank God, are higher than our ways. Ways that we may not understand, but we can rest in knowing that they're right. And Hosea calls them to go back to God's ways. In chapter 6, we read about the change. We read about what takes place and how they return, as verse 1 said, unto the Lord. But what I want to do is I want to take the thought and look at it as from chapter 6, the sincere change or the sincere revival. But I also want to look at the insincere change and the insincere revival that happens in verse 5. And what I want to do is I want to look at it backwards. Usually when I preach, I end up backwards, but today I'm going to start off backwards and go ahead and beat myself to the punch. I'm going to start in chapter 5 and look at the insincere change that often takes place in our lives. Look at it with me, would you? In chapter 5, the first thing I want you to see about insincere change is the problem of insincere change. Look at chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. The Lord says, I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. They will not frame their doings to turn unto their God, for the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Look at verse 5. And the pride of Israel doth testify to his face. Therefore shall Israel and Ephraim fall in their iniquity. Judah also shall fall with them. Chapter 5 and verse 3, the Lord cries out to them, I know. And it reminds me that the Lord still knows His people. We've come a long way since the New Testament church in Acts. We've come a long way since they first got started. We've come a long way since God saved us. But we have not left His side. We have not left His knowledge. We haven't gotten too smart for Him. We haven't gotten too big from Him. And I'm reminded once again that He knows us. You read in Revelation how He told the churches, I know thy works. God, the Lord Jesus had sent the letter telling them, I know all about you. I know why you do what you do. I know how you do what you do. I know what power and what authority by what you do what you do. And it reminds us that He knows our hearts. He knows where we're coming from, and He knows whether or not that the change that has taken place in our life, from a preaching standpoint, the things that we preach, the things that we stand on, the things that we testify in a Christian's life, He knows whether or not they're sincere or insincere. And you notice what's happening in chapter 5 is God's people were in and they were out. They were here and they were there. In verse 3 He says, Israel is not hid from me. For now, O Ephraim, thou committest whoredom, and Israel is defiled. He uses Gomer in the early chapters to teach us how God's people are in and out. Gomer was with Hosea 1 minute, and then she'd turn her back on him. She was with him 1 second, and then she'd leave him behind. She'd forsake him, and she led a life of whoredoms. God reminds us all through this book and all through the Word of God how God's people have done this over and over again. They're in, they're out, they're hot, they're cold, and it literally makes God sick. He is not pleased with our callous in complacent and cold states. He tells them in verse 4 that they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. They won't change. They won't get back on the right track. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Now, he's not talking about unsaved people here. He's not talking about a group of people who don't know the Lord. He's talking about Israel. He's talking about God's chosen people, and he says, for they have not known the Lord. What he's saying here is not that they never knew him, or not that they were never under his wing, or not that they were never in his will, but they've went so far from his will, they've went so far from him, that to look at them, it's as if they never knew him. It's as if to look at him that they ain't got no God. It's as if to look at them that there never was a change in their life. The problem with insincere change is it's something that will not, if I may say, stick in your life. We can come down to an altar, as many of us do, and cry just a river of crocodile tears. We can talk about how bad we want to change. We can talk about how much we want to change. And we can sit there and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm going to quit doing this. I'm going to quit doing that. I'm going to quit doing this. And I'm going to quit going here and listening to this and doing that. But friends, if it's not sincere, you mark it down. It'll never make a difference in your life. And Israel acted as if they had never known the Lord. How many times in our life have we walked into our work professing Jesus, teaching Jesus, preaching Jesus? We got our born-again belt buckle on and we're telling the whole world, I'm a believer. A storm comes our way. A problem comes our way. A dry time comes our way and we buckle under the pressure. And we act as if we've never even met the Lord. The problem with insincere revival is, friend, you will be in and out. You will be hot and cold. You'll have no foundation. You'll have no real substance. You'll have no real authority. If it ain't sincere, then friend, you're resting on this problem that proves to me and you that we cannot do it on our own. What took place in Israel's hearts and in Israel's life was they came to a point where God had blessed them, God had taken care of them, and they came to a point where they thought we can do it on our own. And the very thing that took place was not that they accomplished anything on their own, but rather they found themselves so far away from the Lord, as verse 4 said, they have not known the Lord. They had gotten so far away that it appeared that they had never even known Him. Friend, are you in a state in your life today? Are you in a place in your life today where you were once on fire for the Lord? You were once in a place where the whole world looked at you and said, look at him, he's a child of God. Look at her, how God's changed her heart and how God's changed her life. Were you once in a place where you were in service for Christ, where you were in the altar day after day crying out to Him, where you had that secret time of prayer, where you were so close to Him that the whole world said He's one of God's. She's one of the Lord's. But now they look to you and you appear as if you never even knew Him. Then friend, chances are what took place in your life was an insincere change. You're totally different from how you used to be. But that change that you rested on, that day that you go back to, seems void now because of where you're at. And chances are what you were resting in, chances are what you were relying on, was nothing more than an insincere change. Maybe it comes back to an insincere decision that says, I can do it on my own. Maybe it comes back to an insincere time that says, maybe I can do a better job than God in my finances, in my marriage, and in my life. Thank God when we are born again, we're born again, and no man can take us out of His hand. He can't blot our names out of the book of life. If you've been saved, then friend, you're saved. You're not saved temporarily. You're not saved conditionally, but you're saved, period. Somebody said, don't put a question mark where God puts a period. But maybe there was a time in your life where you made a decision to do this or to do that, and it was an insincere change. Have you let the devil win in your life and you tried to overcome it with a decision of your own heart and of your own making, only to find out that it was obviously an insincere change? There's the problem of insincere change. They're in and out, they're hot and cold. But notice the punishment of insincere change. Look at verses 9 and 10 of chapter 5. Verse 9 says, Ephraim shall be desolate in the day of rebuke among the tribes of Israel. Have I made known that which shall surely be? Verse 10, the princes of Judah were like them that removed the bound. Therefore, I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. In verse 9, it talks about how they're desolate in the day of rebuke. How God has made known that which will surely be. How He had prophesied to them that His wrath is coming on those who have had this insincere revival or this insincere change. I honestly believe that you can't play games with God and get away with it. I don't believe that you can walk a walk and talk a talk with an insincere change that has been made in your life. I don't believe that you can fool God. I don't believe that a change will ever stick and that a change will ever stay if it's insincere. I believe if you're fake, that it'll be made known. I believe if you're real, that not a soul on the earth can deny it. I believe that your spirit will bear witness with the truth. But what was happening here is their choice to go back to God came in haste. It came in a time of trouble. And God was saying, if you don't turn, if you don't change, I'm going to judge you. I'm going to judge you. And over and over again, God told them this. Until finally He poured out a little judgment and they said, okay, we'll go back to You. It wasn't a sincere change. It was a change that came out of fear of God's punishment. I don't believe that a sincere change comes out of fear of what God may do. I believe a sincere change comes out of the reality of who He is. It comes out of the reality of who you are in Him. And what was taking place here is God said, fine. You've made your choices. You've turned your back on Me. You've made an insincere decision, and I will judge you. His wrath was getting ready to be poured out. His wrath was getting ready to be placed on the children of Israel. And they had to come to grips with the fact that they had made and that they were in the midst of an insincere change. I believe that in our day and time, I hear people talking about God judging the world and God judging this group and that group. Friends, I don't know about you. I'm more concerned about Him judging me. I'm more concerned about Him wearing God's people out than I am about Him wearing out the homosexual movement or the liberals or anybody else. I'm more concerned about what I'm going to have to stand for. Because friends, I admit that there are some areas in my life I'm reminded every day that I have made insincere choices. I have made insincere commitments. Today I came to a point where I said, I'm dry. And I told Brother Ronnie, who shares the broadcast with us, I told him, I said, I'm in a dry spot. I'm in a cold spot. And I came to realize that it wasn't a matter of being dry and cold because God had withdrew His hand, but there were some areas in my life that were insincere. And I believe part of God's punishment on the believer is that He withdraws His hand. That He'll remove His hand and say, all right, you think you can do it on your own, just try it. And we're left with nothing but the reality of our insincere change. Quickly, I want you to notice not only the bad news of the insincere change or the insincere revival, but moving on, perking up, tickling your ears a little bit before we go home, I want you to look at the sincere change, the real deal. What is it? All right, you say, I've made an insincere change. I'm in an insincere place in my life. I want to correct it. What is it? What are the telltale signs of a sincere change? You pastors say, what's the telltale signs that my church is in a sincere revival? I don't have a clue. But I can tell you what the Word of God says. Look at chapter 6. Notice a call to sincere revival. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. Come and let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn. There's that judgment from the insincere. He hath torn, but notice, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. Isaiah cries out to Him, you've made mistakes, yes. You've made bad choices, yes. You're in a cold place. You're in a desolate place. You're in a dry place. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Don't throw in the towel and say, I'm cold, I'm dry, I'm desolate. God's just decided to give up on me. No, come, let us return unto the Lord. Yeah, He may have chastened a little bit. Wah! Get over it. You're a child of God. Get used to it. Don't give up. That's part of being called to His family. Come, let us return unto the Lord. He hath chastened you. He hath smitten you. But guess what? He'll bind you up. He may have torn you in some areas, ripped out some of that junk in your life, but He don't leave you wounded and bleeding and desolate. He heals. He heals. I believe one of the signs of a sincere change is we may get cut up just a little bit. We may get striped and wore out just a tad. You might see a lot of bleeding, wounded, gimpy church members in the altars. Some of them who have made some insincere changes. And God will smite, God will wound. But thank God, He don't leave us that way. And I believe when we answer the call to sincere change, return unto the Lord, that He's there with that balm that heals all wounds. That He's there with that binding that binds the scars that no one else can see. And I believe a sincere change comes only when first we have been smitten. When first we have been wounded. I know a lot of preachers and a lot of churches who won't change and they won't revival. But they're not willing to have the chastening and the correction that comes with it. Then I tell you what, brother, you better patent that insincere movement and concocted feeling that you've got welling up in your pews. Because you'll never know what sincere revival really is. There's a call to sincere revival, but notice it's just a call to those who have been smitten. Those who have been wounded. Because I believe revival is that restoration, that change where He does heal our wounds and bind us up and correct us and then not leave us that way, but heal us. Come, let us return unto the Lord. Notice lastly, a consistency to sincere revival. Look at verse 2. And after 2 days He will revive us. And in the third day He will raise us up and we shall notice. It doesn't say just hang out for a little bit and then catch a movie. It doesn't say we'll just stay there for a little while and fellowship and eat a little fried chicken and all God's people said amen. It says we shall live in His sight. Verse 3, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning. And He shall come unto us as the rain. Now you notice before, God talked about His judgment coming as the rain. As the latter and the former rain unto the earth. But here God's talking about a reign of restoration, a reign of consecration, a reign that seals God's people. In verse 2, He says that we will live in His sight. Verse 3, He says, if we follow on to know the Lord. In other words, how do you know what sincere revival is all about? It has a consistency to it. Now, I'm all about getting rowdy and running pews and spitting and hollering and sweating and shouting and walking on the piano and climbing telephone. I love it. I'm for it all. But friend, if that's as far as it goes, I don't want it anymore. I want something with substance. I want something with a consistency to it. And Hosea tells us that consistency to sincere revival revolves around that living with Him and following on to know the Lord. God's people are not changed to stay. I believe they're changed to follow on. I believe they're changed to, even in dry season, say, God, I don't understand it. I don't know why I'm so cold, but I'm going to follow on to know You. Paul, in his last days, accomplishing all that he did, saying that I may know Him. And I believe a sincere change has a consistency to it, that we say we're going to live with Him and we're going to follow on to know Him. You in a dry state wondering what in the world's going on? Friend, if your change was a sincere change, then rest assured in knowing you may be smitten now. You may be heartbroken. You may be torn. But He will heal. And He will bind up. Just cause you're smitten and maybe feel left alone doesn't mean that it wasn't real. But maybe you're smitten and you feel left alone because your decision was insincere. My challenge to you is this. Let's stop looking for some wild, spit slobbering, just crazy meeting. Now, I'm all for it. But I believe what will make the difference in our lives, what will change our churches, is instead of looking for a movement, let's look for a meeting with Him. Let's look for something that we pray, God, I don't care how it comes. I don't care if I cry, I don't care if I shout, I just want something that is sincere. I want something that's real. If it's real, it'll have a consistency to it. If it's not, get ready, because you can't play games with God. Lord Jesus, God, take this word, because only You can bless it, only You can use it. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
It is our prayer that today's message has been a help and blessing to you. If you would like to receive a free CD copy of today's message, simply write to Brother Tracy at Calvary Came Through, care of Temple Baptist Church, 3204 Clio Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37407. This program is also rebroadcast on the internet at www.calvarycamethrough.info. You can email Brother Tracy at tracy@calvarycamethrough.info. Please join us again next week at this same time as we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and how Calvary can come through for you.